I have one question for you today. Does the news, the things happening around the world, social media, ever stress you out? Do you ever get overwhelmed? Do you ever feel anxious? Do you ever feel fear? Well, today's episode is for you. I am joined by Michaela Van Dyke, and we're going to be talking deep into this conversation about living in the age of information. We're in season 3 of the podcast, and we're talking about the impact of stress. And I couldn't think of a better topic than to talk about our consumption of information and just how much it is impacting our nervous system, our stress levels, how we're showing up in our everyday life. Michaela Van Dyke also has a ministry called Chasing Sacred, where she offers truth-based resources for those who want to take their faith seriously through sound theology. She has apps and all kinds of resources for you to even grow in the word more. But there's so many things that we talked about in this interview. And really, one of the biggest overarching themes is we make other things bigger than God. So through this episode, we're going to be talking about how to practically trust God, how to practically be able to speculate versus trust. We're going to talk about how this narrative going around that to know is to love. We're also going to be talking about, where are we getting puffed up with knowledge? Are we consumed with knowing everything? But also, I know that this episode is going to free you if you have just wrestled and struggled with fear of watching the news, knowing what's going on in the world, and it just be able to calm you and be able for you to find the confidence right now in your walk with God to do exactly what He's called you to do as you love on other people around you. If you kind of feel like your feelings are just big right now, meaning maybe you have a lot of feelings, maybe you feel overwhelmed a lot, or you are just so exhausted and burned out, I highly recommend you just pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, because listen, it takes one chapter at a time, just one chapter at a time, to begin this healing journey with the Lord. You do not have to live exhausted and burned out. That is not the way that God has called us to. We are not to just be everything to everybody, but this is really a book about walking through emotional healing with the Lord by your side, healing from past mistakes, healing from past trauma, so that today you can show up a new person. So make sure you go to the show notes below, get my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, and let's go ahead and get to the interview. Michaela, I am really thrilled that you're here to have this conversation about how much is too much information. And I think a lot of us can relate to this idea of overwhelm. You know, I think the last 2 years specifically has brought this to our attention that we think we need to know everything, be consumed with everything. And if we don't, then we kind of feel overwhelmed, anxiety, and like we're not doing enough. So can you talk just briefly, what is this age of information that we're living in? Can you just kind of explain it? And I love also your post that you created today. So you guys make sure you follow her. I'll include that in the show notes below. But you know, you're talking about how the Bible doesn't even include every single detail. So can you speak into those two things?
Yeah, for sure. So when I wrote my post, I was thinking a lot about how we're inundated as believers with so much information and also so much false information. So we used to kind of live in a day and age where, you know, this was in the past, where you could really trust news outlets and sources and all of these things. And now, you know, a lot of people have different agendas. We have a lot more social media, so it's opinion pieces. And we have so much misinformation kind of going everywhere. And this can cause people to get really alarmed because there's constant amount of conspiracy theories being unearthed. There's constant information just at our doorstep. We hear about another, you know, national disaster, you know, tragedy just constantly, which, I mean, it literally will trigger our nervous system. And then it actually makes us release these stress hormones. So we're dealing with all this stress constantly on a day in and day out basis. And it can just kind of unbridle us and make us anxious. But then as believers, we also have this other thing where we have the Word of God. And we have the Word of God, and the Word of God is the truth, and it truly is, you know, how we stay rooted and grounded. But it can be, you know, so tempting as a believer to kind of put the Word of God on the back burner and then just be inundated with all these social media posts and information and opinion pieces. And, you know, I don't think social media is totally a bad thing. I mean, we think about any form of new information. We think about the printing press kind of back in the day. You know, it helped actually translations get all around the world when the printing press was invented. So there are, you know, great things. We can spread the gospel, like all these things. But how do we as believers navigate that? And speaking of the Word of God, you know, I kind of wrote about in my post, basically how the scriptures also don't give us every single detail of certain things. And so often it causes believers to speculate instead of to trust. And so there's that measure of like, we have been told by the Lord, like to have faith, you know, and faith is not always knowing. And so what is that balance of belief as believers of like being obsessively looking at this knowledge, which our culture right now tells us to know is to love. And I think that can get a little bit confusing because I think, yes, like obviously when I love God, I want to know him more, right? But at the same time, sometimes we elevate that knowledge like the Pharisees did in scripture, where it was all about knowledge. Okay, so I can quote the Bible to you back and forth. That's knowledge. But where is the heart behind that? So there is that next step of heart, right? And so I think I really wanted to talk a little bit about that here today is like, that's not always an equation to know and seek knowledge and get puffed up, it says in the Bible, with knowledge, but not have love. Like you can have one without the other. So how do we kind of navigate this culture we're living in?
That was really beautifully put, because there's a few things I wanted us to even talk on is to know is to love. And we're seeing this, like you said, a lot. And I think that's causing people to not want to share the gospel or to not want to ask questions because we're afraid of the things that we don't know. And we're afraid that if we don't know, then that even can make us appear weak, right? And make us appear, I don't want to say, dare I say, stupid, or like, you know, we don't have enough faith, or we don't know our Bibles enough, or something. So can you talk even on, just go deeper into that situation of this narrative to know is to love and really kind of break that down a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things I've noticed kind of in this information age, and, you know, it came about with a lot of different debates. It was like, okay, you know, if you love me, you'll really try to understand my situation. Well, I kind of realized, I'm like, Lord, like, I can expect people to understand or want people to understand, but they're not always going to understand, right? And in the same way, like because of the information age, it seems like we are all expected to know everything and every piece of information. And I think the humility comes in saying, I am finite. I do not know anything. And I'm not going to answer to this. I'm not going to talk to this. And I'm not going to speak from a place where I do not know. And I think that is wisdom, right? So like scripture gives us these two examples in Proverbs, and it talks about wisdom and seeking knowledge. And it talks about seeking wisdom under God. And then it talks about seeking knowledge under the sun. And I think we see this kind of like polar opposite of like, sometimes knowledge, like he says, Solomon says, is futile, right? It's just constantly trying to puff ourselves up with knowledge. Like, what does that lead us to? I'm not, you know, saying a plea for ignorance right now. I'm probably like, I love searching for knowledge, right? But there's also this idea of like wisdom. So searching out scripture is the wise person searches out scripture for that wisdom. So there's almost like this difference between just puffing ourselves up with secular knowledge. And to answer your question, I think what we end up doing as a culture and what we've decided to do is to equate them both. But in scripture, you know, I talked about this a little bit in my post. In scripture, sometimes things are left out. Like maybe we don't get all the details of like what caused, you know, someone to write a letter to a church, right? But we're still expected in scripture still tells us and commands us to obey and to love and to do all these action steps without knowing all the details. But because of this information age, we feel like we need to kind of meddle in all these details or know all these things. But so many things in scripture are left ambiguous. Like you think about Paul's thorn in the flesh, for example, right? We don't exactly know what that is. And it could cause us to speculate all day, right? And we could speculate and decide and try to like build up in our head what that was. And it might bring us comfort, right? But it's like at the same time, what are we doing to try to just bring us comfort? And what do we need to just rely on the Lord for and trust him for? And, you know, I've it's just crazy how sometimes thinking about this, we can say, okay, yes, like there are parts of it that are truth, right? Like if I love you, I want to know you. Like in the same way, like I'm going to love my friends, I want to know them. So in a way they are equated, but at the same time, when we look at scripture and it talks about, you know, puffing ourselves up with knowledge, or the Pharisees who could quote scripture back and forth, there's a motivation there that's a little bit different. You have to have the motive of love, right? And it goes back to that motive. Like, what is my heart motive? Like, do I want to get to know you because I love you? Or am I wanting to know all these things, like, so I can be right? Mm-hmm. And that's different. And I found myself in that own place before where it's like, all right, I want to know theology. So I know theology and I can, you know, enter into a debate and sound smart. That's not, I want to know theology because I want to get to know God and I love him and I want to worship him. There's the distinction, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that, you know, to seek knowledge is wrong, right? But there is that heart motive that we always as believers have to be in check with. What is my actual heart motive behind this? Like, is it, you know, do I want to get to know Jessica because out of love, or do I want to get to know Jessica for another reason, you know, a different motive? So it's similar to that.
Yeah. What you're really saying is it really does come down to the intention of our hearts. What is our end result that we're hoping to get from this? You know, basically, is it closer to God, or is it, you know, this person's going to give me something, or, you know, just whatever it is, or is it for our own pride, or, you know, mm-hmm. I think it really comes down to
such a good word, Jessica. That's such a good word. Like, I think that's what it comes down to a lot. And maybe because I've examined my own heart, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think pride is something that the Lord deals with me all the time because I come from a background where I didn't grow up in the church. So I didn't know the Lord until I was roughly 22. And I took care of myself pretty much my whole life. That means that I came into this world, you know, of loving Jesus and letting him love on me and thinking, well, I can just do this all myself. You know, like I mean, here he is, here's God, you know, it's great, but here's me, you know? And yeah, I think I've just had to deal so much with that pride. And at the beginning, you were talking about how information overload actually puts us into stress mode. And I love to also stay there because, you know, this season, it's about the impact of stress. And I have talked many times throughout the season of, I just want to open the eyes of the listeners, you guys listening, to really think about these different topics and what's causing us to even draw away from God, right? You mean just going and saying, okay, I have to do all of these things, right? Because we're about works, versus just, I want to really pull in and get to know God, versus I need to do all of these other things to be known. Can we talk a little bit more about information stress and even, this is maybe another question, but walking in trust practically? I think we often hear we need to trust God, but I think people love examples of what does that look like lived out?
Oh my word. I love this question. I think, so actually reading the news has shown scientifically to actually activate those stress hormones. So that would be like cortisol and adrenaline, and it kind of sends you into that fight or flight type mode. And so what's interesting then is when you're constantly reading the news, you're constantly in that stress mode. Your body's actually going into that stress mode. And so then you have to have time to come down from it. But as we know, we are a hyper-connected society. So a lot of times we're not even giving ourselves the ability to come down from that. And instead we are just literally making ourselves sick with all this news. And so it's really interesting because what I've noticed is, like, we've seen a lot of people spiraling into, you know, we've had all times rates for anxiety, and just all of these things. So I ask myself personally, like, at what cost am I willing to sacrifice my peace? And I think we have to ask ourselves as believers, like, what are we throwing away? And we're throwing away a lot of times our peace. And as believers, we are called to peace, right? And so it is interesting as believers to think about boundaries with social media, to think about boundaries with the news, and to ask ourselves, like, is this really worth it? And what are some boundaries I can build so I'm not constantly in that stress cycle? If people are feeding me misinformation, or if people are talking to me and my anxiety is rising, or if when I'm on Instagram, I'm like constantly in this fight or flight mode, well, then I think I need to change things, right? And so there is that, like, desire for knowledge, which is a good desire. You know, it's not, I'm not going to say it's just all this negativity, right? It is a good desire. We should desire knowledge. We should desire to love people. We should desire to know people. But at some point, we also have to make the decision, like, I need to turn this off and I just need to act. Like, for example, I think so many times we wait until we have all the details in order to be compassionate or in order to extend love. And the truth is, we don't need to know all the details to get on our knees and pray. So I don't want us to, as believers, just get so caught up in, you know, that knowledge and getting to know things in the information age that we literally aren't doing what believers are supposed to do, which is being compassionate, thoughtful, loving, and reaching out to those in our community. So I hope that kind of answers the question. I feel like there was quite a few questions in there.
I did. I'm sorry. It was like, kind of, I was like, okay, we want to talk about this. I love that you answered that. And I'm so with you on how, when we see the news or just anything, social media posts, it can easily trigger us into dissatisfaction. And I think the news, and it can put us into, like you said, this fight or flight, this heightened awareness that doesn't cause the fruit of the spirit. Obviously, it causes us to go right into that fear. But then the second question that I had asked you was trusting practically.
Oh, yeah.
And I think for me, when people, as a new believer, people would say, well, you just need to trust God. But I never really saw an example of that in my life, because I, again, was separated from my family. We're not separated, but we disconnected is a better word. And I never saw really any of this lived out. And so can you maybe just give some practical examples or stories in your life where you knew that you had to trust God and it wasn't just a saying that you said anymore?
Yeah, I think so often trusting God is a choice. And so often it's really hard to do, right? Because we see all these things. And I think of like that, you know, famous kind of quote in Isaiah when he's talking and he's like, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread, and he will be a sanctuary. I think often what we do is we make those other things bigger than God. So here he says, do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. And the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. I think when we really have a really working theology of who God is, it gets easier to trust him. And so what I do is, like, when I'm distrusting and I'm making things around me, you know, so much bigger than they are, and I'm having such a hard time seeing God as who he is, I search scripture for verses that show me God's character. And then through that, I really start to understand like who God is. I remind myself of who he is. And then I realize, like, why am I frightened of these things? Or why am I, you know, scared of these things? Really, I need to fear God. I mean, it goes back to like fear God, not fear man, right? And so often I think it's that we just have too small of a view of God and too big of a view of other things. And that's what's leading us not to trust him. Because if we really truly understood his character, then we would really know that he is worthy of trust. And so I go back to that over and over in my life. It's like, what, you know, what scripture verses or what can I see that shows me like, Lord, you are so worthy of trusting with all these worries and stuff like that. But I also go back to like, so often, like, I am like such an emotional person. So I'm like, in what situation where do I just need to stop wallowing in my emotions and also just choose because I'm commanded to do so. And I have to be like a little bit more harsh with myself because I have to be like, okay, this is a command. Like, do not fear is a command, right? Trusting God, that's something we're commanded to do. And so, you know, it doesn't say, okay, now go figure out all the details to make sure that, you know, he is worthy of trusting and that those other things aren't really a threat. And then once you've done that, go, you can trust God. You know, it literally says, just put your trust in him. And so it's that action step of doing that personally is how I found that has really helped me.
I think that's beautiful. And, you know, I was starting to write down how it's just choosing his way over ours. And mm-hmm. I think, and we only know his way if we're reading his way, right? Mm-hmm. And what, not that we're always going to have like the specific answer of this, you need to go north, you know, we're not going to have that, but we can follow his peace. And something that I've been saying lately is, you know, if I don't have peace, I've left his presence. Mm-hmm. And because as soon as I start to have like, I don't want to say fear or anything like that, it's just easy to creep in because we're still in this fleshly body. Mm-hmm. I start to question of, hey, Jess, you don't have peace. That means that you're now consumed with what you can do or what's going to happen to you, you know, making it kind of about me. And you had said something, we make other things bigger than God. And I think that goes along with, are we choosing God's way or our way? Because one way is going to lead to peace and one way is going to lead to that turmoil, you know, of, okay, if I'm choosing the news or social media or all of those over God, then I'm not going to feel peace because that is bigger than God, right? And I think that's just a really beautiful kind of example, or even this tension that we live in, like you said, to be so aware and harder on ourselves but, you know, a little bit more like, hey, Jess, like get your stuff together here a little bit, you know, when we're in our feelings.
It's so interesting because some of the things you said, like have made me, I've really thought about this recently. You know, I always tell myself in Proverbs, it talks about instead of the right way, it's the righteous way. Mm. And I think what we can often do, and I've repeated that to myself so many times, is like, it's not about trying to find the right way, right? To keep in step. It's following the righteous way. And I think so often when we look at scripture, we don't understand the original intent of the passage. And that's why I teach so much about this. But we can kind of look at it to try to figure out, you know, okay, what is it that, you know, fits into my life and like all these things. And so often it can paralyze us, but really we're just not understanding the passage kind of correctly. And so when I think about a lot of the, you know, stressful things that we deal with, that it's just more simple than that, like seek righteousness, walk humbly with the Lord. You know, we can get paralyzed by all these decisions and all these things. And so I was thinking about that recently and you just brought it up again. So I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. How we can get so, you know, which way and
yeah, I love alliteration and that goes like right up my alley, the right way versus the righteous way. Yeah. How about, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up our time together, can you even make that scripture come alive? Meaning those words like seek righteousness, seek, you know, humility. I think we overlook sometimes the simplicity of that because we're like, tell me what to do, God, in this situation. Like, how do I heal? Because, you know, I talk about healing so much and, you know, in my book, Face Off with Your Feelings, it's all about healing from the inside out with the Lord. And we overlook like righteousness. So even if you talked about, hey, how do we walk in righteousness? You know, what does it look like to be humble in this situation? Can you talk even about the simplistic practicality sometimes of what trust looks like and when we're choosing the righteous way versus the right way?
Yeah, I think we as people, we want to constantly be told like you're doing the right thing, like you're walking, you know, you have the right calling and you're taking the right step. Like I have been paralyzed by just decision making and feeling like, Lord, why are you not just like telling me what to do next, you know? And I think as believers, as I've talked to other believers, they're like, yeah, why is God not just like directing me outright? And I'm like, sometimes I think we are so like dead set on kind of figuring out like, well, should I write this book? Should I start this podcast? And the Lord's like, do it all with holiness and righteousness and the correct motive. And we see this over and over in Proverbs that he's like, seek wisdom and instruction and just try to understand these words of insight, right? He talks about just walking in wisdom and pursuing that and pursuing the righteousness of the Lord, and everything else kind of falls into place. And so when we kind of pursue this way that scripture talks about, I think we understand that maybe we're looking for kind of the wrong things, like a road sign telling us like, go this way, go that. But instead of just seeking to pursue humility and what the scripture talks about, which is Christ-likeness. And so I really, really was convicted of that actually in the book of Proverbs when I read it and realized that like, oh man, I've been so like thinking about the wrong things, you know, here. Mm-hmm. So I was just, I don't know. I hope that's helpful.
No, it's good. I think for me too, you know, when I always remember it's Romans 9, 12 through 21, I think. And it just, or 21. Yeah. It goes through 21, but it literally every sentence is like it's like an instruction. It's like the character and nature of God, you know, cling to what is good, you know, resist what is evil. Like these are things that we get to choose every moment. when we're in a conversation, when we're watching the news, when we're not watching the news, but we're on social media. I mean, these are things in our relationships, right? That we get to cling to what is good. And are we clinging to what is good? And that kind of convicted me reading through that. I was like, okay, every single one of these is kind of this command and also the character and nature of God, right? And it just really reminded me of, okay, this, there's the big picture, but then there's also these little moments in my day that I can live practically in peace and not be overwhelmed with what's happening around me. So as we kind of wrap up, Michaela, what would you encourage the listeners that feel like, you know, maybe these are the people that are watching the news every day and they may be in fear or they don't really know how to discern what is right and good and true, but they want to do better. So how would you really speak to the heart of those women?
Yeah, I would say, is it worth, you know, is it worth sacrificing your peace? And, you know, practice Sabbath. Don't go on the news sources on Sunday, you know, take away from, you know, don't do social media on Sundays. But also, like, I would say, what are the boundaries you're willing to build? And then also, like, are we going to the word first, right? And so, you know, I have really, really strict phone boundaries, especially in the morning when I'm doing my Bible study. But I think like making sure that I hear from God first and I hear from God last, and my first and last thoughts of the day are not about what is going on in the world, but more of a reorienting of who actually rules the world, right? Because I think we can get so caught up, and I think it's really hard not to get caught up in all the evil, all the sad things that are going on in the world, and to just kind of go back to scripture and look at it and see, and just see like who really does rule the nations, who is sovereign over man, like what is actually going on here behind the scenes. We just constantly have to remind ourselves of that. And a good way to do that is actually worship. I mean, when we worship, we truly are putting everything before the throne and saying like, you are the king, you rule this world. And we are, you know, finite people, and we won't understand everything. And that's okay. We were not meant to understand everything. And humbly, I'm glad that we don't know everything, you know, and we won't understand. And so just thinking back to my post earlier, like, we can be so encouraged by, you know, the example of Job. And, you know, he basically thought like he had boiled it down, like the righteous prosper and the wicked suffer. And he's like, well, then why am I suffering? And he had boiled his theology down to something that was so simple. And God was just like, no, you know, like, you know, for lack of a better word, like, what are you doing? Your brain is so small. And his friends did the same thing. They had whittled down wisdom to something so minuscule and finite. And so when we really look at these examples in scripture, and then God shows him just how expansive the universe is, and Job is just like, oh my word, I should not have opened my mouth, right? So I think just like, scripture humbles us and makes us realize who really is in control of things. And then we are able to trust the God who is, and to just shut down, you know, have good boundaries with the news, have good boundaries with all the information that you're bringing in, and know that it is really, putting stress, giving you a lot of stress in your life.
I it's like, amen. Because even I have felt recently in the past 2 years of like, Jess, you don't know anything. Like, cause I was never a news watcher. I was never somebody consumed with kind of what was happening around me in a sense of bigger scale. Yeah. And I feel have been so challenged, and some things that are good, but other things are, oh my gosh, I realized how much I don't know. And I think that you saying that really freed people up, because it's like, hey, you don't have to know everything or understand everything. It's a process of sanctification and walking this out. And so thank you just for sharing your heart with us, Michaela, and your time. So where can people, I know you have apps and things like that, where would you like them to hang out with you and get to know you, but also get closer to the Lord?
Yeah, so we are primarily on Instagram, and then also we do our app. So we do daily devotionals there, where we work through one book of the Bible at a time. And then we actually send out emails, obviously, to our email list, where we give information on a book of the Bible every month and a reading plan to read through a book of the Bible with us. And then also we have a journal that we sell that actually helps you do in-depth Bible study through the method of inductive Bible study, asking you questions about the culture, the context, the history, and really prompting people to dig deeper into one book of a Bible at a time. So that's kind of a little bit about Chasing Sacred and what we're doing on Instagram and our website. So
I love it. You have such beautiful work, and I love the things that, you know, you post on Instagram, and the information that you share just is wonderful. So keep doing what you're doing. And just again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jessica. It was so fun to talk to you.